Well, one of the things about being obedient is sometimes it just means you got to tear up big parts of your message. I love that our theme this morning is on our core values. Who we are becoming is what we've said, and it's really a picture of both where some of us are already and where we want to be. And when we were determining our core values, we started looking around the congregation. And we were like, who are the people that we would like to emulate, and what are the qualities in them that we would like to duplicate? And one of the qualities that came up was this idea of obedience. It's the way we said it on our core values is we are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we want to be a people that listen to God and then that do what He says. We are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because here's our big thought for this morning is that obedience opens the doors for God to move in your life. Let me say that one more time. Obedience opens the door for God to move in your life. Just like Philip's in Acts chapter 8, and if you have your Bible, you can turn over there. We are called to obey the Spirit, whether it's in big ways or in small ways. And so we're going to be in Acts chapter 8 this morning. The truth is that sometimes when things are going well, we can hesitate to obey in a way that when things are going badly, we're ready to try anything. We're ready to make changes. We're ready to finally, you know, things are going poorly in your health. You're ready to finally give up sugars. You're ready to finally make the adjustments to your diet that you need in order to get healthy. When things are going good, and somebody says, hey, maybe you should have a piece of watermelon instead of a bowl of ice cream, you're like, nah, I'm good. I'm gonna stick over here. This is what's more pleasing to me in the moment. You know, somebody says, hey, maybe you should have a few vegetables with that steak, I don't know. And you're like, ah, no, things are going good right now. Why would I mess up a good thing? But we know that as we learn to be obedient, as we learn to listen to those promptings inside of us, that it opens the doors for good things to happen in our lives. So if you have a big decision coming up, whether it's a you know, career, spouse, relocating, we're going to, in those big decisions, we're going to pray and we're going to ask others to pray for us. But sometimes there's smaller things. Sometimes there's other decisions that you need to make in life that tend to get glossed over. You know, when you're sick, do you reach for a phone to call somebody to pray for you, or do you reach for the medicine cabinet and grab a bottle of aspirin, right? When you're feeling overwhelmed in an area of your life, do you go to the Word of God and do you read what He has to say, or do you turn on the TV to try and mute all of those voices in your head? How do you respond in the they're not the small things of life? But it's not the giant decisions that we all have to make. And we know that sometimes when things are going well, we tend to just assume that we're going to keep going on that way. We tend not to want to make changes when things are going well. Philip, in this verse, we're going to be in Acts chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 26. But just to give you guys a little bit of background. So this is Acts chapter 7. Is the stoning of Stephen. This is the first martyr in the early church. And right after that event happened, when one of the believers was actually killed for their faith, right after that event happened, all of the believers scattered out of Jerusalem because they saw a new wave of persecution coming. Philip, one of the apostles, went to a region outside of Jerusalem, just a little bit north of Jerusalem, called Samaria, and started to proclaim the gospel in Samaria, and he actually saw a revival starting to take place in the area, in the region of Samaria. People were being healed, lives were being transformed, people were responding to the gospel. And so Philip is in the middle of starting to nurture this move of God, starting to believe God for big things. And then God suddenly shifts his focus. And that's where we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says this. Says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now remember, he had gone north, Jerusalem is in the south, and then the angel of the Lord tells him, I want you to move south from there. So I want you to leave the people that you are ministering to, and I want you to head to the south. It had to seem random to Philip that this happened. It had to seem even inefficient. Like, God, there's things going on right here. I'm building a community. There's people getting saved. There's people being healed. God, don't you want me to be right here in the middle of the move of God? But the Spirit of God says, I have something else for you. I need you to come with me. I want you to go to where I'm calling you to go. And there's often times in our life where God speaks to us, and it feels like he's calling us out of the place of abundance, out of the place of revival, and into the desert, and into the place where there's nobody else around, and we're just alone on the road now, walking towards a city that you know, we don't know very well. And all of a sudden, we're off on our own, and it's like, you know, we're like, God, why did you call me here? What are you trying to accomplish in this? So he started out. Verse 27, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chair reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked him, do you understand what you were reading? How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. And we see here that God took Philip from the place, like I said, where all of this revival, all of this stuff was happening, all of these good things are going on. God moved him over here for one person, to influence one person, to minister to one guy that happened to be in his chariot heading home. The Spirit of God was like, I need you to go, and I need you to talk to this person. And so God took Philip and sent him over to the Ethiopian man. And John 14:26, we're gonna go to John 14 here in just a minute. But John 14:26 says this. It says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have sent to you. The Spirit teaches us in every situation, whether it's big decisions or small moments, whether you know how it's going to work out, or more importantly, when you don't. And I love the illustrated sermon that we had earlier today of Pastor Tiffany saying, I don't know if somebody has a word, but I'm going to open it up. And then I love Gail responding to that saying, I don't know if this is complete or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to believe God because I know that God wants to do something in here. And it just requires sometimes us taking a step of faith. Philip didn't know how it was going to play out, but he listened to the Spirit. And this brings us to point number two today, that obedience opens the doors for impact. That obedience opens the doors for impact. Point number one was the Spirit guides in big and small ways. Point number two, obedience opens the doors for impact. Here's the cool thing about this guy, is that Philip didn't just minister to one person, but I've got a picture that I'm going to show up here right now. This is a picture of one of the churches of the Eastern Orthodox Church or the Greek Orthodox Church. And this is a building that is one of their cathedrals that they would worship in. Ethiopia ended up becoming one of the hubs for, first of all, for Jews during when they were kicked out under the Babylonians and stuff like that. Some of them headed south. Some of them went to Ethiopia. But then ultimately, as Christianity started to spread, Ethiopia became one of the hubs of where the gospel was located and then spread out. The Eastern Orthodox Church is one of the major denominations today, and they actually point their founding back to this guy right here. Now, this isn't explicitly stated in scriptures, but church tradition, church history shows us that this guy went back, started talking to his friends, his family, his you know, sphere of influence, started telling them about Jesus and explaining to them the things that Philip had explained to him. And as he did that, then the church down there began to grow and began to blossom. See, God took Philip away from this revival that was happening and used him to light a spark that started another revival down in Ethiopia. We never know exactly how things are going to turn out, but our obedience opens the doors for impact. When we take a step of faith, we never imagine where it's going to end up. And this is why we handed out these invite packets, right? This is why we're encouraging you guys to pray. This is why we're asking you guys to think, God, who would you have me to invite? Who would you? This is why we're giving you guys a refrigerator magnet to remind you all the time to say, God, I'm praying for the prodigals. I'm believing that you have somebody for me to reach out to. And I want to encourage you guys today. We don't want to be people that just listen to what God is saying. We want to be people that do what he says. Just like James 1:22, right? Don't merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. All right, if you've got your Bible, let's go ahead and flip over to John 14 now. And we're gonna see how Jesus introduces this third member of the Trinity to us. Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is in the week leading up to his crucifixion. And so he gathers them around. And in John, he spends 3 or 4 chapters explaining to them, these are some of the things, these are some of the most important teachings. When I leave, which I'm going to, and he says that to him as well, when I leave, I want you guys to be thinking about these things. And then in chapter 14, he kind of interrupts himself for a minute, and he says, not only do I want you guys to be thinking about these things, but I'm going to send somebody that's going to help you remember. I'm going to send somebody that's going to help you in the things that I'm asking you to do. And so in verse 23, John 14, 23 says this, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Will obey my teaching. He says, anybody who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Now, it's important for me to pause here and just to note something, and especially if you are new to the church or maybe you're watching us online today and you don't know this. When he says, anybody that loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. In the same way that inside of my family, there are days when my kids obey and there are days when my kids don't obey, but their obedience doesn't make them a part of the family. Right? It's not their obedience that marks them as part of the family. Instead, their obedience is what shows whether they care about me, right? And sometimes it can feel like a knife to the chest, knowing that, okay, maybe they're not listening as well. Maybe they haven't been trained as well as I would like them to have been. But in the same way, obedience does not bring us into the family of God. And I wanted to stop right here and say that because you could read these verses and assume that the gospel is a works-based gospel. And unless you do what Jesus is saying, you don't get to be a part. But the Bible is very clear that salvation is a gift that God has given to everybody. And that because God gave that gift to us, he has invited us to be part of his family. And as part of his family, now we have responsibilities. As part of his family, now we get to hear the word of God. And when we hear the word of God, we have a responsibility then to walk out what the word of God is saying. Imagine that I was still living at home, and my dad comes to me as I'm laying on the couch and I'm playing video games or something, I don't know. And I'm just sitting there. My dad says, hey, I'm going to work. And when I get home, I want you to have taken out all of the trash in the house. And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, Dad. And so my dad goes off to work, and then he comes home, and he notices right away that all of the trash cans are still overflowing. So he comes up to me and says, Jeff, what happened? Why didn't you take out the trash? And I was like, you know what, Dad? I really thought about it. I even took time to stop and to meditate on your words. In fact, I even memorized them in the King James Version. You know, thou shalt takest out thine trash, or thine house will stinketh, right? And I was like, Dad, you don't understand. I know the word. I've memorized the word. I spent time thinking about the word. Not only that, I doused myself in essential oils. I lit a candle in the corner. I spent time meditating on your word, oh, Dad of mine, right? And I'm like, Dad, I get it. I really do. And my dad's like, why isn't the trash taken out? Why is everything still overflowing? Do you smell that odor in the house from the trash? Why didn't you just do what I said to do? Now, in my dad's situation there, what do you think is more important to him? That I took time to think about his words, or that I actually put his words into practice? And so the Spirit of God, Jesus says here, comes to help us to remember, because oftentimes, I mean, you're going to go home today. You're going to be sitting at lunch and somebody's going to ask you, you know, what happened in the message today? And you're going to think, oh, Jeff said something about garbage, I think. It's the Holy Spirit. I remember that. And there was a really cool moment during worship. And you're gonna start, you know, kind of hemming and hawing and like, well, I don't know. But that's why the Holy Spirit came. So he says, if you love me, obey me. If you don't love me, don't worry about it, I guess. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All of this I have spoken while still with you. And then verse 26, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives, is because the Holy Spirit reminds us of Jesus' commands. The Holy Spirit reminds us of Jesus' commands. And so we want to be a people who are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is who we are becoming as a church. We are a people who are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Some examples of this might be God might be asking you as you go to him in prayer, God might ask you to forgive a family member. And you're thinking about it, you're praying about it, you're like, God, I don't understand what's going on in my life. And all of a sudden God speaks to you and he says, you know this person that you know, you haven't talked to in a couple years, you should go and talk to them and say you're sorry. You should forgive them. You should move on from this. You should start to heal these hurts. It might be, for some of you, trusting God with your finances, right? We received an offering earlier. One of the reasons that I think that is such a powerful symbol is because it's saying to God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to be obedient with even my security, right? Because money represents security in our lives. It represents safety in our lives. And so we're saying, God, I trust you in this. Inviting somebody to church, like we've been talking about all morning, right? This is a way that we take a step of faith towards God and trusting him and believing in him that he wants to do some things in our life. We want to be a people that listen and obey, that we read the word of God and we do what it says, that when we pray and God speaks something to us, we're quick to respond. We're quick to do what he's asking us to do. We want to be a people where the Spirit of God has free reign in our services, where the Spirit of God can tap us on the shoulder during small group. You hear about somebody that's going through something, you're like, let's stop right now and pray. We want to be a people that are quick to forgive. We want to be a people that are quick to repent when we do things that are wrong. This is oftentimes a challenge for us to both recognize when we're doing something wrong and then to move to repent from it. We want to be a people where we are willing to listen to God and then to do what he says. And so our challenge this week then is to ask God, what do you want me to do? What is it in my life? Is it forgiving somebody? Is it giving? Is it serving? Is it asking for forgiveness? Is it giving up something in my life that I've been holding on to? I don't know what it is, you know, entertainment, whether it's, I listened to a podcast this last week. It was a guy who's experiencing some revival in his life, and the interviewer said, you know, oftentimes when revival comes, it means that the person that's experiencing revival has had to give something up. He said, what have you had to give up? What is this meant to you that you've been pursuing God so passionately? The guy is a pastor over in London. They're seeing hundreds of people come to know Christ. And he said, you know, for me, it's been sleep. He said, there's something about the way God is moving right now in our midst that means that I'm both staying up late and getting up early. He said, and honestly, my preparation time has been cut down so that I can spend more time with God. He said, God is moving in such a way right now, in such a unique way, that we're willing to sacrifice, we're willing to do whatever it takes in order to see the gospel proclaimed. And we don't want to miss it. So we're willing to do whatever God is asking us to do. And I just want to encourage us today. In just a minute, we're gonna open up the altars. We'll put some music on. Dennis, if we could get some music playing. And we're gonna open up the altars. And I just want us to take a few minutes just to spend some time with God, saying, God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to respond to what you're doing? God, what are you trying to say to me? Father, we thank you for this time that we've had. God, we thank you that, Lord, your spirit was at work during worship in such a powerful way. God, I pray that now we would respond to you, God, whether we come to the altars, whether we stay in our seats, whether we're watching online today. Lord, I pray that we would respond to what you're doing. And God, we would listen to you. God, we would be quick to obey what you're asking us to do. And so, Father God, I just ask for your spirit to move in this place. God, I ask, Lord, that you would open up the heavens and pour out your spirit upon us again. God, we want to see you move. And God, if there is something inside of us that's stopping that, that's holding that back, if there are spirits of dissension or witchcraft or jealousy or unforgiveness that have permeated our midst, God, I pray that you would drive those things out right now in Jesus' name. That God, they would be revealed, they would be exposed, and they would be disposed of in Jesus' name. And God, I ask that, Lord, your spirit would fill this place. Because God, nothing is more important than being in your presence. Nothing is more important than seeing you at work.